On, let's lift Him up. Let's make this is all about Him tonight. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord, we lift up Your name. We thank You, God. We thank You for Your presence, God. We thank You for Your joy, God. We thank You, God, Lord, for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We thank You for Your Spirit, God, that quickens us, that strengthens us, God. Lord, we declare tonight it's all about You, God. Come on, say it tonight. It's all about You, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank You, God. You're the air that we breathe to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, yes it is, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lord. It's all about You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Come on, just thank Him tonight. Come on, just sing a song unto God. Just bless His name. Come on, just give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, it's about You, Lord. It's about You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We surrender, God. We thank You, God. We lift up Your name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Lord. Heavenly Father, we just give You praise and glory, God. Lord, we do surrender, God, tonight, God. Lord, we come to God, Lord, into Your presence, God, Lord. Hallelujah. I ask to God, Lord, that, Lord, let our hearts be open. Hallelujah. Let our ears to God, Lord, be open. Our eyes to God, Lord, that we could see clearly, God, Lord. That we can break through things to God, Lord, that we've struggled with, God, Lord. With Your power, God, and by Your Spirit, God. I pray tonight to God, Lord, that whatever thing's ailing us, God. Whatever thing that has bothered us to God, Lord, that we've come here tonight to God. I pray tonight, God, Lord, that it be loosened. In the power of Your name, God, by Your Spirit, God, let us be quickened in who You are and the greatness of You. Lord, we give You praise and we give You glory in Jesus' name. Come on, tell somebody it's all about Him. Come on. Come on, tell somebody else it's all about Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank You. Children may go to their class. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Interesting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The weekend ain't over. Come on. Amen. You can still enjoy yourself. Come on. Amen. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. So come on. That's something that... Come on. Except for me, yeah. No, I just wanted to just honor His name. I'm grateful and thankful. It's all about Him, and we recognize that. It is all about Him, amen, and everything that we give Him praise and everything. God wants to be part of everything. Come on, tell your neighbor, He wants to be part of everything. Not just some things, but everything. Come on, amen. He wants to be part of your tough situations and your good situations. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he doesn't go to church here. Maybe that's his problem. But I said to him, I said, "Do you talk to God?" And he just looked at me, and he gave me kind of a smart comment. He says, "Yeah, I tell Him that I need more money." And it just, at that moment, it kind of bothered me. Because I thought to myself, God wants more than that. God wants something more than just, you know, that we are wish list or something. God's looking for somebody. He searches the earth. He's looking for relationship. Come on, amen. He's looking for people that will surrender their hearts to Him, that will walk with Him, that will talk with Him, that will communicate. Amen. Come on. That God wants to be part of everything that you do. Amen. God wants you, come on, He wants you to know that. God wants you to experience all that He has. He wants you to know you in the good times and the bad times. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to take you by your hand. He wants you to know Him in a greater depth. Amen. And I felt to myself, I said that the young man is blinded by not knowing. He thinks that God is just this and that or whatever it is. But God's more than that. Come on, amen. There are desires, relationship. He's all about relationship. God does things in patterns. He does things and He shows us that in the beginning, come on, amen, in the beginning, God created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve and He put them in the garden. Why? Because He desired relationship. Amen? Come on. He desired relationship. He communicated with them. Do you know that that's the most powerful thing that we can see is our relationship that we can have with God? That God, He inhabits the praises of His people. That He looks for that those moments that we learn to get to that place where that we're not separate from God. It's not God on Wednesdays. It's not God on Saturdays, but it's God 7 days, 24/7. Come on, amen. That we experience and know Him. We walk surrendered unto Him. And life begins at those moments. Come on, I want you to know that life begins at that surrender life, the moment that we surrender to Him. But man has always battled with that because sometimes what we do is we place things before God. We have altars. Tell someone we got altars. We got altars, and altars mean platforms. This is an altar in a sense where it's a platform where it's something that is, I want you to hear this, it's elevated. Come on, amen. Whatever an altar, altars are places that are elevated. They're elevated spaces and places that we place in our lives. And sometimes there's some good things and there's some bad things that we've elevated up. But I want you to know that God desires, hallelujah, to be the altar. He desires to be elevated in our lives above everything else. Amen? And that's the way it works. It's a pattern that we could see. It's a pattern that we can walk with. That Adam and Eve began to struggle when they began to separate themselves. When they began to listen to something else more than their father. Come on, amen. And they lost that sense of walking with Him in the cool of the night. And moments in their lives. In the night seasons. In those moments that they separate. They began to hide from God. Come on, amen. God doesn't want you to hide from God. God wants you to pursue Him. God wants you to find Him. God wants you to run after Him. God wants you to lay before Him, come before Him. So tonight, I'm sharing with you that God desires us to make Him a place, a platform, a separate place, and an understanding that God desires something more. Amen? God's putting us at a place where He desires something more than just a 2-day-a-week relationship. Come on, amen? I want you to know that, see, me as a pastor standing in this place that I could just get by to tell people that and just puff them up and walk out and see you next week. But I don't want that. I want you to know God. Hallelujah. I want you to know God in the depths and the fullness and all that He has. It's in me. I can't do anything else but declare that about who He is. Why? Because I'm not happy with just shaking His hand. Come on. I'm not just happy with waving at Him saying from afar, hello, hallelujah, I'll see you next week, Jesus. But I want to walk with Him that there's experience in our lives and we know relationships that way. Come on, amen. That I know you. This is what you do when somebody does. There you go. Come on, you all know how to do this, right? Come on, what is this? You wave at people, right? You wave at them when you see them. Especially sometimes where I'm being real. Come on, amen. There's some people that, you know, you don't want to be ignorant. So sometimes what we do is, hey, how you doing? Hey, got to go. Or just a quick beep, 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 hey, hey, and you keep going. Come on, amen. Maybe there's something about that. Maybe there's something that you're afraid to get a little bit too close to that person, whatever that is. And that's okay for a season. Come on. I was that way with God. I was okay with God. Just leave me alone. But I want you to know that, see, there's something drawing us. Even more, it's the Spirit of God calling us to come a little bit closer for who we really have been created to be in a relationship with Him. Amen? That there's something more that He desires from us. And it comes from the Father. And it's inside of you. There's something within us pulling us closer to God. And it's really hard. I want you to know that sometimes there's things that get so chaotic. It's because we're pushing away from that. And we wonder why so many times things are so frustrating, and I want you to know that it's sometimes because we're pushing away instead of pulling to Him. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to you. Draw near to Him. Pull yourself. But then there's that place where that, you know, and I've talked about this before, but I want us to see that you're okay because you're close enough. Is my hand sweaty? She got grossed out. 28 years of marriage, she got grossed out by me. I just anointed her. No. But I want you to know there's that place where you, come on, you get a, that's it. It's how you doing, man. I'm doing good. See, it's like you want that contact. You want that. Come on. There's something more that you know you're coming into church. You're getting closer. You're like, man, I just want a little bit more, man. And you're like, oh, man, how you doing? See, that's changing things. You know what I mean? That's a little bit deeper. But I want you to know that, see, it's not enough. See, God's still pulling. And He's still pulling. And you might feel like, you're frustrated. I want you to know that God's still pulling you. There's still something more. That God wants more of you. He wants you to leave it out there. He wants you to surrender. And then stand, please. And then all of a sudden, I want you to see this, that you can wave at somebody. You can shake their hand. But then you can... Now she's really sweaty. But listen, see, I want you to know there's nothing in between you. You embrace that you get in that closer contact. Amen. Come on. That you can hear a whisper. Come on. You can hear the whisper. You can hear the secrets. You can begin to hear things at a greater level when you're that much closer to God. See, God wants that. There was those ones that were, they experienced Jesus. They came and they followed Him and they're really interested. They were intrigued by Him. We're here because we are. Something, we want more. I want you to see that they came and there was those ones, they were standing and they were all out there and they were on the beach and they experienced Jesus. He was right there. Hey. But then all of a sudden, Jesus went out into the boat and He went out a little bit farther and He was at that place and some of them can still hear from that distance. They were still able to hear, so they were at that place where they were there. But I want you to know the problem with that sometimes, and this is what's been wrong with the church, that we're not in an intimate place, we're not in a surrendered place, where that we give the false information about what we hear and what we know. Because we're not in a place of intimacy. We're not in a greater depth with Him. We're really hearing the heartbeat of the Father. Because I want you to know there were Sadducees and Pharisees that they knew Him from a distance. They knew Him from the Old Testament. But they didn't know His heartbeat like Jesus did. And they couldn't understand Jesus because He was different. He had the heartbeat of the Father. He was in an embrace with the Father. He wasn't waving at Him from a distance. But they were standing there. I want you to know, we can think about this and think that here they are. And Jesus is talking from the boat and He's out there a little bit. But the waves are going and you can hear the seagulls. And He's like, what did He say? You're dependent upon someone else to inform you of something. Did you ever play that game where you whisper in somebody's ear and you tell a story? And by the time it gets to the end, it is messed up. I'm sorry to tell you, but it seems like that's been the church. With good intentions, they want God, but yet they don't. They're misinformed. I don't want to misinform you. I want to be intimate with Him, that I have this passionate relationship with Him, that together, that when those that come, that I give them what they need. Come on, amen. I give them that love. When they walk in this place, come on, that we live a surrendered life, that we have what He has, compassion. That I love the weak, the poor, the hurting, the broke, the busted. That's us. Listen, I'm going to help you because, listen, Jesus says this. Someone's here. See, someone loves. See, they're hungering. See? You got it, yeah. So here they are. So here's this one, and I want you to know that here they are. And then Jesus said this, that, see, they were so close to Him because at that moment He looked at His disciples and He said, let's go a little deeper. And it's just like that place where that we can understand. I want you to know that, listen, even what Apostle Valentine was declaring, there's something about being a disciple where that we surrender ourselves to a place because we like to be in control. I always like to be told what to do. I work with guys all the time. And I'm working in a new place now where that I'm working with some people that are, they're my boss. And sometimes I feel like I might know more than they know. And there's sometimes that pride within you that wants to stand up and say, hey,
that ain't right.
But then the side inside me says, no, just submit. Come on. We want to say what we want to say. We want to let people know what we have to say, that we got something to say. Maybe it ain't that important. Maybe. So, but that's the thing, that it's a place of surrender. It's a place where we at that surrender place where that He's holding us, and we're not holding Him away, but where He's holding us, embracing us, holding us, and He's our support. He's my strength. He's the one I'm depending upon. It's not my needs. It's not what I have. It's not what I'm used to. It's not what I've done routinely over and over again. The same old thing that becomes insanity because I do it so many times over and over again. But it's a place of surrender where He had this heartbeat that I get to that place with it. I'm hearing what He has to say. The Bible, Jesus says, I've come to do the will of the Father. He was that expression of what we are to be to the Father. Surrendered in a place where our hearts are willing to hear what He has to say. His will be done, not mine. But that's a discipleship life. He showed us how to be a disciple. He lived a surrendered life. He served. He served. He took the fall for me, for you. He gave it up because He didn't have nothing to lose. It was all His. He gave it to the Father anyways. So here they are. They're in this boat and this and that. It's so powerful because there's three dimensions. See, man, God gives us a pattern. We're going to be talking about the pattern that God has given us for the church. He's given us patterns. He showed us how things are. Remember He talked to Noah? He said, Noah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. Huh? Here's the blueprint. Here's the pattern. Say pattern. Here's a pattern that I want you to follow. I want you to follow these patterns. I want you to see that He just didn't do that. I want you, there's something powerful about that, that we could take from it, that we could see the types and shadows and the examples that He showed us of what the church is to be like, how we're supposed to be, amen? What it's really supposed to be about, come on, amen? I don't want church as usual. I want something more, come on, amen? I want something deeper and more powerful. I just don't want a handshake or a wave, come on. I want intimacy, I want changed lives, I want something more powerful. But what we've done is sometimes is God gives us a pattern and He hands it to us and you say, three floors? Come on, do you remember that Noah's ark? There were three levels. How about if Noah just said, time out. It would really be easy just to make one big floor. Come on, that's us sometimes. For the sake of convenience, we're like, meh. The most I'll go is two. And we negotiate with God. Come on, we've been there. But then God, He says, He shows Moses. He says, this is a pattern. He says, and how a pattern says, you know what? Listen, people aren't going to like to worship outside. There's the outer court, the holy place. They're going to want to straight go right to there. They need a fast pass. We need, like Disney, a fast pass to get into the holy place, you know, just to get right in there. Because, you know, he didn't argue. He just did what God told him to do. And then there was David and Solomon, and there was patterns of the church and how there's examples of understanding that I want you to make it this big and this wide. And what happens, the church has said, you know what, we're just going to do it this big. We're only going to go this far with your love. We're only going to go this deep. We're going to have a handshaking church or a hand waving. Y'all heard about that apostle? I couldn't believe when he said that Wednesday night that they have a bar in the churches now that people can get drunk before they're more comfortable in the spirit. Let's get loaded up and see Jesus. It's real, and that's, to me, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe when I heard that. But I want you to know, see, God has given us a pattern, an example to follow. And I want you to know it begins with that. There's progression. There's progressive walk with God. And God brings us in. He draws us in, that we run with Him. And it was that place where, they were on the shoreline. You felt comfortable. You get in the water. Your feet are wet and you're splashed around. But then it's that place where that we go deeper, where you have no control, where you lose control and you're out of your element and you're in the deep and you're far in that deep places. And you're not. And the only thing you could do is depend on the pattern that God has. Come on, amen. Not by what you can try to do or how you can make it happen. Unless God builds the house, we do it in vain. Listen, it's like we try to do it with the pattern of our own homes and our own houses. We got to do it with the pattern that God has given us, that we follow along that. If not, it will fall when times come, when things get rough. We got to build that. So tonight, I want to share with you about altar. I said there was a platform. 2 Samuel 24, 21. Amen. 24:21. Listen, it says this, and it says, Arunu said, "Wherefore is my Lord the king come to his servant, that David came there to this place, to this moment?" I want you to know that he was in preparation for something, that he was moving with what God told him to do. He was at this place. He was buying this. He wanted to buy this piece of property that at this place. And I want you to know that at this place is where Isaac was going to be, where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. So there's some history here. Come on, amen. There's some history at this place. It was where God met people. Come on. Do you know that God wants to meet us at these places? That all through the Bible that we could see and we could understand that here comes Moses. And what did Moses do? It says that he built an altar. What did he build an altar for? That he met God there. Come on, amen. A specific moment, a specific time. And this is what I'm talking to. It's a deeper level with God and of understanding with God that we need to have if we want to progress and go farther and know Him at a deeper place of intimacy. And it's not just the drive-by. Come on, listen, I talk to God all day long, but there's something different about building an altar. Come on. There's something different about specifically setting something a time set aside. And I want to talk to you that might not all be on the same level of spending time with God or being alone, but listen, you need to find that moment. Give Him something. Start somewhere. Tell your neighbor, start somewhere. Start somewhere that you just begin to prepare a table. Say, listen, I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to meet Him here at this time, at this moment, in this room, and I'm going to start with 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it is, but I'm going to meet with God, and I'm going to give Him a place of surrendering, that I give Him an opportunity that He could speak into my life. I want you to know that's a dangerous thing, that we set it aside. I'm not saying you don't talk to God all day long, you're driving a tractor, you're talking to God, but I'm talking about something even greater, something where that you just, it's God's, come on, amen, that you're not sharing it with the tractor. Or in the car. I prayed. I was driving for an hour and a half, and it was a great time spending with the Lord. But there's something more. I'm not sharing Him with the road, but this is a moment where it's just me and God. Where I'm meeting with God. I'm sitting with Him. I'm putting it, saying, "Here I am, God. Here I am. Speak to me right here, right now." And I want you to know that that's what they all did. Isaac, what did he do? He said he built an altar. Moses built that altar. He built it, and then he began to have an encounter with God. And he called the place Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He came to a place where he had an opportunity at that place where he built the altar to experience and understand that God was his provider. God wants you to know Him, and He wants you to know who He is. And at those moments, those encounters with God that we give to Him, it's those moments that we make, we stand, we say, "Here I am." All through the Bible, we could see these encounters that God says, there's patterns for us to see. Come on. I'm not talking about your backyard, and I'm a stonemason. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an altar of your heart, whether you come with your heart open at that place, at that moment, at that time, and say, "I surrender right here." There's nothing more important than this moment right now than be with God. There's nothing more important. I want you to know that God begins to shift things on your behalf when you begin to shift things on His behalf. I'm telling you, God begins to shift things. He'll begin to move things out of way when you begin to move things out of way for Him. You draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Come on. Amen. That He'll, those pieces on the chessboard, come on, I believe it's so powerful that God did that. He gave them. Abraham was at that place where He surrendered. He built an altar. It takes something to build an altar. So here's David with it. He was going to this place and he was there to build an altar. Listen to this. And it says, and he went there to buy a threshing floor of thee to build an altar. What is he building? Thank you. Unto the Lord, that the plague may stay from the people. He was building this altar that this plague that was out there would stop. That he said, man, I just need answers from God. Come on, I just need some answers. I want to get into a place where I can hear from God. And it says, and David let my Lord, he says, King, take the offer up. What seemeth good unto him? Behold, here be an oxen, a burnt offering, threshing instruments, blah, blah, blah. All these things did Arnu as the king give unto King David. And Arnu said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And he says, he wanted just to give it to him. Come on, amen. And he says, and the king said to Arnu, no. He says, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnings unto the Lord, which did not cost me something. It has to cost me something. There's something different about when it costs you something. When you don't pay for it, you don't buy it. I'm not talking about buying a relationship with God. I'm not talking about, but I'm talking about that it costs you something. It means something to you. When somebody just gives something to you, but when you bought it, you birthed that thing, it's yours. Come on, you got some kids, and I guarantee some other kid doesn't mean what that kid does to you. Why? Because that kid costs you something. There's something intimate. There's something powerful about that child that's yours, that you birthed, that you gave birth to. Come on, I was a youth leader. I loved kids. I loved all the youth. But there's something different when you birth that child, when you have that child or even that child that you've adopted, you've taken on your own. There's something about that, that price that you paid, that you raised that child, that you bore that child, that you walk with that child, that you prayed for that child, you carried that child, you went through things with that child. You bought them stuff and you watched them grow up. Well, you know that you paid that price for that. It cost you something. David was declaring something that, listen to me, if it's not going to cost me something, it's not worth it. I want you to know, but I'm going to pay for it. Why? Because he's worth it. Whatever that price is, it's going to cost me something. See, David had the heart of the Father. He had this heart that I want you to know that he paid a price for you because you're worth it. He gave everything. Cost him everything. Cost him his son. Cost Jesus his life. Sacrifice on the cross. Cost something. That's how much you mean to him. That's how much your relationship. You know, David understood that even from afar that he's seen this. He understood that this relationship, there's something more, there's something powerful that costs something. We live in a day and age, sometimes you don't know it, that sometimes people won't pay for something. They're not paying a price for something. They haven't earned that. Or come on, amen, even freedom sometimes, that we see that there's people that have earned. My father was in World War II, and I know what the cost was. Sometimes you get so far from it that you forget the why, how the freedom, how you have that freedom, that somebody died. Come on, there was ones in the military that paid the price for the freedom that I have. I seen a lady in a video where the guy was getting a discount for being a military guy, and she got all bent out of shape about it. She was all upset with it. And he's like, you can go home into your free family. But I go out and I can't come home for months. I'm separated so that you can have freedom. See, I want you to know that it costs something. And we recognize that if you don't pay that, if you don't have that, if you're not part, then you lose sight of that. That's why even our church that it costs something. Yeah, it costs something. I come and I participate with worship, or I participate with this or with that. It costs something. Why? Because it's valuable. Come on, amen. It's valuable to me. But David said it costs something. That's a pattern where it costs something. Every one of those ones, they're willing to be at that place. Acts 17, 23. Are you okay? Acts 17, listen. And here's Paul where he was experiencing some of this to some degree. And it says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And he said unto the men of Athens, he says, I perceive that these things are, you are too superstitious, for I have, as I passed by, beheld your devotions, I found an altar. Come on, see this? He found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him and declare I unto you. Listen, this is, I want you to see this, that there's so many some things that we built altars for. We set aside, that we put up on a platform higher than what we have with God. And Paul was dealing with this with the church. He says, listen to me. He says, listen, you've made an altar, he says, to an unknown God, something superstitious, outside of the pattern that he has for you. See, because you're doing things out of this ritual. Come on, amen. Out of this wanting to know but not having an intimacy with the Father. So he declared, he says, and God made the world and all things therein. He says, seeing that He is Lord, He is Lord, He is Lord, He's Lord. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know why does it say the Lord? Because we've made many lords. Things that we've let shepherd us, try to guide us in our lives. Maybe it's somebody's opinion. Maybe it's hurts and pains and things from the past we've let shepherd us. Lead us and guide us and frustrate us and hurt us. But he said, the Lord. The Lord. There's other lords, but he is the Lord. I want to remind you, he's the Lord. Amen? That's what Paul's saying here. And he says, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples. He doesn't want to dwell in temples. He's made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of all habitation. That they, listen, this is his heart and his desire. Here's a pattern. He said that they would do this. For in him, he says, that they would seek the Lord. If happily, that means to grope. To grope. To reach for. Do you know when you grope for something? Listen, I took my daughter the other day to a job site. Just a reminder that her dad works hard. She's one with her mom, but she's one with her dad too. I wanted her to see, not like she doesn't work hard, but by any means, that's all. Yeah. She's a hard worker. She gets home late at night. But I wanted her to see what I do, remind her what I do. So we get there, and there's scaffolds way up there, and she looks at me with fear in her eyes, trembling. On the scaffold, I'm way up here. And she's, come on. Up there. Yeah, up there. Come on. The work is up here. It's not down there. So here she comes. A little bit higher. Come on, just like what I'm kind of talking about. Man, here's Dad. He's up there. And I'm asking her to come. There's nothing. She's looking at me thinking, why aren't you scared? I'm not afraid. Come on, I'm not afraid. here I am right here. And here she comes. She's groping. She's reaching. She's longing to be closer to me because she knows if that she gets near me, that I will hold her, that I will keep her from falling from the scaffolding and hurting herself. She's reaching for me. She's coming up there. She's getting on the edge. And she's like, and I'm reaching for her. Dad, don't pull me. I'm pulling you. So she gets up there, and all of a sudden, half hour later, she's up there. She's working with me. She ain't afraid no more. She ain't looking down. She's looking at me, and she's working with me. She's in this place, and she's realizing it's all right. But I want you to know, see, God wants you to be at a place where you grope, that you reach for Him. He'll bring you places where you're uncomfortable, that you might be afraid. Come on, you know the story about the guy that went over the Niagara Falls with it. He would ride a bike or he would do different things, crazy things. This was in the 1920s or whatever it was. And he would do these crazy things, but he would do all this stuff. And the one day he said, does everybody believe that I can wheel a wheelbarrow across this thing? Yeah! Yeah, we believe you. You can do it. You're awesome. He says, who will come with me? You just said you'd believe. You believe that I could do this. Yeah, but not with me in there. I believe you could do it with Him. Well, that's where we are sometimes with God. That we say it really down hard, but when it really meets the road, where it's right there at that moment where that, no, you got to come up with me. Oh, I don't know with you. Yeah. This is where you're going to experience it. Because this is that moment right here. This is where I'm at. I'm here. And I want you to meet me here. I want you to meet me because you know me there. But see, I'm not going to go back that place. I'm here. I want you to come to me. I want you to know me. I won't go backwards. I want you to come forward. See, because I love you. And I won't let you know me at a lesser me, but a greater me and a powerful me and who I really am. Because that's who I am. Come on, amen. Listen. Give me 2 seconds. Dan, give me 5 minutes and start walking up here. Oh, thank you. Listen. Might feel after Him and afraid that we're feeling after Him, though He be not far from every one of us. That He be not far from every one. Hold on to your neighbor and say, not far from any one of us. Not far from any one of us. So I want you to hear this and know this. The relationship that, like, I could just look at it as an example as Apostle Valentine, that he's paid a price to be at that place of relationship with God. That's where we could be with God, or someone that just knows Jesus, just knows that experience, that I can be at a place where that I can know Him at that depth. Come on, amen. I can know Him. That it's not just for Him. No. It's for you too. Come on. It's for you. It's not singled out just for a pastor or a teacher or those that have fivefold ministry or the apostles. But I want you to know for anybody that they can come up higher. That they can know Him in a depth at a greater place. Because it's His desire. It's the protocol. It's His pattern. I want to habitate with you. I want to walk in Walmart with you. I'm going to walk with you. I want you to know me. I want you to know my patterns. Listen, for in Him we live, for in Him we move, and for in Him we have our being. I know we do things, but here it says, in my being. Not just doing, but being. Just think about it. I just threw it out there. Listen, my last scripture, I want you to see this. Mark 1:35. And this is the pattern. This is Jesus. Say, this is Jesus. This is God in the flesh. Walking on the earth, demonstrating the heart of the Father. And it says, in the morning, Listen, great while before day, before the day broke, before his day started, before anything happened, before the problems overtook him, before anything came his way, before the tides got high, before people began to complain, before anybody said a word to him, this is what he did. He went out and departed and went into a solitary place. He went into a place alone. Come on. He found a place that he knows, that he meets with his Father, that he came to a place. Come on, amen. He was one with the Father, but he set a time aside that he went to that place, a solitary place where no one else was, that he was there, that he had a schedule to keep. Come on, amen. He had an appointment, hallelujah, with his Heavenly Father, that he wasn't going to miss it. Come on. Someone called, but you know what? There's a little bit of problem. No. I got an appointment with the Father that I will not miss. I will not put aside. I will not place anything higher. I'm going to make a platform for him, and he's going to be elevated above everything else today. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. And whatever comes, comes, but I'm meeting with my Father first. I'm meeting with him first. Listen. And he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Next verse. Here comes troublemakers. And Simon and they that were with him followed him. Now I want you to see this. Listen, they were knowing Jesus with a handshake. They knew the Father with a handshake. But something within Simon was pulling them, saying, I want what you got. I want to know the Father the way you do, and what are you doing? And he jumped up out of bed. He's waiting for him to get up. Fighting his sleep, but he's seeing Jesus get up out of bed, put his sandals on, walk out the door, and Simon says, I'm going. And it says, and he followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, everybody's seeking after you. Listen. Yeah, come on, Dad. You want to go ahead and get the kids? I'm going to pray for them. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town. I pray, preach, therefore, that it might come forth. He says, let us go to the next town that I might preach. And he went to the synagogues throughout Galilee, and he cast out devils. How did he cast out devils? Because he set his time alone. He set his time alone, that he was able to be at that intimate place, a place of authority with the Father, that he was able to hear what the Father would have him to say, what to do for that day. I want to be a place to listen. I want you to go to this town or that. He walked with such authority. He knew where he was going. We're going to go to this next town right here. Why? Because I want you to know the Father told me to do this. I want to hear that. I want to be at that place with always knowing that you're such secure at that place with it. You're just moving wherever God tells you to go, wherever he wants you to go, that your heart's so open that you're not a stubborn, that you're not in a place where you say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I went two floors, not three. And it says, and there he came, the leper, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, thou wilt cast, make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. We don't have enough time. I'm not going to go through the rest of these. I'll do these Wednesday. Listen, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he spent his time with the Father. And I want you to know that he had the heart of the Father, that something came upon him, and it was compassion. I want you to know the church needs compassion. We as Christians need compassion. We need empathy. That when we have, that I cry for people, somebody that's hurting, somebody that's broken and wounded and in a place where that they don't have something. Their hearts are moved by it. Because why? The Father's heart's moved. Do you know when you were desperate, where you were at a hurtful place, the Father was moved? He wants you to be moved because he was moved for you. The Bible says in Revelations, man, let me just read that last scripture before we go. Listen to this. Are they coming? I'm going to pray for the kids before they go to school. Pray for teachers. Come on, amen. That God's hand will be upon them. His protection will be upon them. Amen. Listen to this. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half hour. And I saw seven angels that stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. There was a declaration. These are symbols and it's powerful. And it says, and there was another angel that came and stood at the altar. They stood at the altar. I'm going to say it again. He stood at the altar, that elevated place. And it says, and having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne of God. I want you to know, altars are places where you meet with God. And it's that place where that your prayers are heard from God. It's that place where that God's ears open, that He's ready to receive what you have to say. And here's what it says here about prayers. Come on. I want you to say, do you say to yourself, is God hearing me? Does God hear my prayers? Listen. And it says, in the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints, with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God. It ascended to God. And it says, and God, and out of the angel's hands, the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and he cast it upon the earth. I want you to know there's something powerful about that. That every one of their prayers are caught by God. They're caught by God. Every time, I want you to know that that time that you spend with God, that declaration, I want you to know there's a lot of problems out there because we haven't met God at the altar to receive and to declare. Jesus left the altar and walked out and cast out demons, cast out devils. He healed the lepers. He touched those that were broken, those who were hurt. There's something powerful about being at the altar of God and walking out knowing the authority that you have in Him and the compassion that moves you. Listen, I want you to know that God's bringing us up higher. Ascending. The Bible says that I descend, that He ascends. No longer I, but Christ lives in me. That we be in a place where that He appears. That you see the appearance of Christ in my life. Right now, I just want all the, Jane, you come up here. Come on, any of the teachers. Come on, all the children. I just want all the children to come up here. Anybody's a teacher. And we're going to pray. We're going to declare over each one of them. I want you, anybody else, too, that feels like there's something in their heart to pray over these children. Something in your heart, man. There's something in your heart. Whatever it is, I want you to declare and pray. Come on, let's speak over these kids, these children. Come on, guys. All right, come on. So would you just stand with me? Come on, amen. I want you to hear this and know, come on, amen. There's something powerful about this, that we are the church, amen. We are the body of Christ. And just like He met with the Father and He began to declare things, come on, and speak to things and cast out devils, the church, God is waiting for the church to step up, to be the voice, come on, to be the voice in our neighborhoods, in our homes, that we built an altar, that we declare over each one of these children. Come on, amen. We declare protection. We declare guidance. We declare over every one of their lives to God, Lord, that, Lord, that you overshadow them, God, that your protection is upon them, God, that we as the church, we declare the blood, and we declare to God, Lord, over their lives to God, Lord, that they walk to God, Lord, in the power of your name, God, Lord, that no matter where they go, I ask to God, Lord, that they take with them to God, Lord, the very power and the understanding that they walk with the Father. I pray for that anointing that be upon them, God. When they walk in the school places, I pray that they be moved by knowing, God, Lord, that you're with them, that you walk with them, God. Lord, that the presence of God is in that place. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for that, God. I pray for an awakening within them to God, Lord, to be bold, to share, and to express who God is in their lives. Hallelujah. With not being ashamed, but being bold, God. I declare for boldness upon them in your holy name, God. We just speak over each one of the teachers, God. Guidance, God, Lord. We ask to God, Lord, to give them wisdom and understanding, God, in moments in their lives that they can impart like never before into every children they speak to, God. Lord, that they can touch them. Lord, I just declare, I thank you for that, God. We will give you praise and glory, God. For every school district, God, Lord, just protection. Every school district. Every one of them that's here tonight, God.
cover them and protect them, God. The glory of your name. Amen. And we'll declare that we are